Galatians chapter 5, from verse 13 to verse 26. Yet again, it's obvious I'm trying to do something which is impossible. I'm trying to speak on this passage of 14 verses, this passage contains many things that need much more development, fuller exegesis, and there's a sermon in almost every verse here, in every verse I should say, perhaps in every word in places. So why am I taking this whole section? Well, I want to give the overall view of it. I think there is a point in seeing the overall view before we get into the detail. As for the detail, I can only suggest if you want to know my thoughts on the detail of some of these verses, you read my two books, Christ is All, and the shorter one, The Sanctification in Galatians, and I've tried to develop my arguments more fully there. I want to give the overall picture here. Let me just give you one place where there needs more careful exegesis and fuller exegesis, say verses 16 to 18. The spirit and the flesh are mentioned here. Now, spirit could be small s or capital S. There's no way of knowing from the manuscripts. So we have to decide by the context. And as I say, in those two books I've mentioned, I give you my reasons why I opt for small s or large s at various places in this paragraph. That's only one place. But what's the overall picture here? Well, this section of scripture doesn't appear isolated, standing out like an atoll out of a sea. It's part and parcel, the continuing argument of the letter to the Galatians. Paul is grappling with the Galatians, these believers, because they're listening to law teachers who want to take them under the law. And he has argued most strenuously that believers are not under the law. The law has finished. It finished with Christ coming into the world, dying, being raised, and pouring out his spirit. We're not under the law, he says. No. Now, you know that many people would agree with that. I mean, many people would disagree with it, Rome and people like that. But many people would agree that we are not under the law. Ah, but for justification, they say. And of course, Paul has said that in this letter, chapter 2, and earlier in chapter 5. We're not under the law for justification. We're quite agreed, my friend. But this is the fact. We're not under the law, full stop. Already, time and again, Paul has argued that justification leads to sanctification, and we are not sanctified. We are not assured. We're not glorified. We're not given peace and all the other fruits and marks of grace in God by the law. Now, Calvin said we must go back to the law as a whip to whip us into sanctification. Now, listen to Paul. Verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. And so he goes on. Now, what is that talking about? Now, let's be clear and honest about it. It's quite simple. He's talking about sanctification, isn't he? He's not talking about justification here. He's talked about justification. And we are not justified by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That is plain. We're all agreed. Okay. But now he's talking about what happens next. We are justified. Now, how are we going to be assured? How are we going to be sanctified? How are we going to get all the rest of our Christian life sorted out? Under the law, says Calvin. And many, many, many people follow him. Under the law is a whip, says Calvin. The fiery law. The whipping law. And many people follow him. What does Paul say? Well, look at it. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Free. That takes us back to the first verse, does it not? Remember that? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Slavery is what? Law. Do not use your freedom, Paul says now in verse 13. But do not use your freedom. You are free in Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You have the Spirit. You are free. Christ sets you free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. but rather serve one another in love. The entire law, he mentions the law, yeah, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. He's picking on the second table, of course, here. And he works it out. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. You see very clearly, he is speaking about sanctification. Move on to verse 19. The acts of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. That is carnality. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's sanctified godliness, Christ-likeness. Talking to believers, you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you've got to be sanctified. You will want to be sanctified. It is inevitable to be sanctified. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If any man's in Christ Jesus is a new creature, behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We live for God, for Christ, like Christ. We want to. But how? That's the question. None of us are arguing about sanctification. Well, we know that some people think you can be carnal, but you can't. You can't. As a believer. So we all agree then, we're going to be sanctified. Now the great question is, what's the motive for it? What's the means for it? What's the spring for it? What's the driving force behind it? The law, says Calvin, the whip. What does Paul say here? The Spirit. Love. The Gospel. Christ. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, the flesh and the Spirit are contrary the one to another. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, verse 17. The Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. I don't see how it could be clearer. I don't see how it could be plainer. If Calvin had not followed Aquinas and the medieval church and put his threefold use of the law into print and set it up, we should have been spared a world of trouble. But because of that system of law which he introduced, and so many have bought into it, we have this problem in conflict today. Paul is very clear. Flesh and Spirit and Christ are opposed to each other. We want to live for Christ. We want to live for the Spirit. We want to live for God as believers. How are we going to do it? Law? No. We're not under law. We're under the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. The Spirit has made us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from this. We have freedom in Christ. And we now live by law, by gospel, by Spirit, the Spirit, Christ, grace. Now this is dismissed by Reform writers as sentimental gush. They should be very careful. I may give a piece of advice to them. They should be very careful of what they're saying. They're not writing or speaking against me. Paul said it, not me. These are Paul's words, the apostolic words. This is not gush or sentiment. We must be like Christ, crucified with Christ, living for Christ by the Spirit. Well, my friend, I won't prolong this short discourse. Here is the two ways. Here are the two ways. Carnality, flesh. Condemnation, death. Life, Spirit, Christ, Gospel. Love on one hand, law on the other. Which is it for you, my friend? I know which is it for me. I know which it is for me. I know what I want it to be. Paul is arguing here that we should show in our lives the practical effect of godliness and spirituality, Christ-likeness, not bickering or quarreling or be conceited or fleshly in any way, but living spiritually like Christ. And how can we do it? By Christ, by the Gospel, by the Spirit, by looking to Christ, by resting upon Christ, obeying the Spirit, walking in line with the Spirit, in tune with Scripture, of course, yes, And the law is part of that. I'm not denying it. But we're under the Spirit. We're not sanctified by rules and regulations, but by our contemplation of Christ, our enjoyment of the Spirit, our walking in the Spirit by Christ. Oh, that's antinomianism. That's what it said. Quite wrong. I'm going to coin a word today. I don't know if anybody else has used it, but I'm going to coin it, and I'm going to put it in the title. It might come down in the canon from now on. I'm not antinomian. I'm pro-gospel. Not antinomian, anti-law. No. I'm pro-gospel. For gospel. Unbeliever. You want to be decent, don't you? You want to be respectable. That's not good enough. There's no justification by that way. And you will never produce a life which is God-honoring, God-glorifying, pleasing to God by your works, efforts, sacraments, church attendance, Bible reading, whatever you like. You have to come into Christ, those who belong to Christ. That's what the text says, verse 24. You must trust Christ first. You must repent of your former way of life and look to Christ, knowing Christ, and then keep in step by the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, like following a dance line, keeping to the Spirit's guidance, direction, and rule in Scripture, walking by the Spirit, looking to Jesus. That is the way to live a godly life. So come to Jesus and trust Him. But believer, you have a responsibility. Don't let yourself be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to slavery. Walk in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. There's plenty of commands here. You have a responsibility. Don't use your freedom for carnality. Many teach you that you can do it. You can't. You have to walk in line with the Spirit. And He guides you by Scripture. But He always takes you to Christ, shows you Christ. And the power of the Spirit will enable you to live for Christ. These are the two ways, my friend. There's the law way, fear, curse, slavery. Or there's the way of love, which is the gospel, which is Christ, which is the Spirit. Which is it for you? Antinomian? No. Pro-gospel. Pro-gospel. I don't need any man to support me, as it were, to vindicate what I say. But I'd just like to read to you something that Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in 1864. He preached a sermon on John 8:36. The Son, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8:36. He entitled the sermon, The Great Liberator. 1864. Now this is what he said. This is sermon number 565. The Christian is not under the law, but under grace. That is a very precious fact. It is much better to serve God because we love Him than because we are afraid of His wrath. To be under the law is to give God the service of a slave who fears the lash. But to be under grace is to serve God out of pure love to Him. Oh, to be a child, and to give the obedience of a child, and not the homage of a serf. My brethren, if we are loved of God with an everlasting love, and are no more under the law, but free from its curse, let us serve God with all our heart's gratitude to Him. Let us say, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. Let the loosing of our bonds be an argument for service. I leave it there, my friend. Christ, the gospel, the Spirit of God. That is the way of sanctification, not the whip of the law.